This class is called Praise Life because it's about a life of praise, not just praising and worshiping God on Sunday or in a group together or with someone else, but you by yourself, just you and God. It's about intimacy with God. Let's turn to Psalm 100. Let's read all five verses. Well, the verse we're going to focus on right now is verse 4. It says to enter his gates. Now, I'll almost always be reading from the NIV, so that's what I'm reading from. Sometimes I will have the King James. Number 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Well, praise is the key to the supernatural realms of God, his courts, into his gates. It's in heaven. Heaven is a place of continual praise. It is a realm of praise, a place of praise. So praise is the key to the supernatural realm of God. It is the gateway to his presence. And that's what Psalm 100, verse 4, and many other psalms and many other scriptures tell us. Right now, that's going to be our class scripture, Psalm 100, verse 4. We are on a praise journey in this class. And our assignments in this class are not just academic, but we are pursuing intimacy with God. And worship, praise and worship, is the beginning of intimacy with God. We're going to learn about praising God in his word, his written word, in print. But then we're not just going to stop there. We are going to practice praising God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in our daily lives. So it's going to come out of the word and it's going to come into our lives and then we're going to be praising God ourselves. These psalms are things that were written thousands of years ago to encourage believers over time, many of them written by David, King David, but they need to come into our lives and produce fruit. So that's what we're going to be doing with God's word, the written word, and then we're going to have his word come in and bear fruit in our lives. So each day pursuing a life of praise. I wanted to let you know a little bit about my praise journey, because I know some of you do not know me very well. So let me just give you a little bit of my background. I grew up in a Christian home, and my parents met in Bible school. I was very privileged to have parents that were Christians. They were both musicians. They were also involved in the Lord's work, and my mother was teaching Vacation Bible School one year, my brother and I. She was telling all the children in the neighborhood. She had it in our garage, and she was telling all the children in the neighborhood about Jesus. And she had the flannel, old-time flannel graph and all the little characters moving across the Bible stories. And I was so taken with it. I grew up always hearing about Jesus, but I decided I wanted to know Jesus. I was only 3 1/2, but I went to my mother, and I said, I want to ask Jesus in my heart. And she thought, Margaret, you're kind of young. But she didn't say that to me. She thought it. And then she said, she breathed this prayer to God. She said, God, if this is really the time for Margaret to accept you into her heart, have her come back and tell me later. You know, because, you know, kids go running off and they're thinking about something else or you know, going off to play. I came back later and I said, I really want to ask Jesus into my heart. So my mother led me and my brother on the same day to the Lord. And I grew up always knowing that that was the time that I had accepted the Lord. So I felt very blessed by that. I grew up in a musical family, so of course I was going to be taking piano lessons, and I took piano lessons from the same teacher that my aunt had taken many years before. But I enjoyed it, and I also sang in church. I grew up going to church Sunday mornings, Sunday evenings, and I loved during summertime because on summertime, on summer evenings, on Sunday evenings, we would have what are called singspirations. I didn't grow up in a spirit-filled church, but I grew up in a Bible-believing evangelical church. We had singspirations. You'd sing all the choruses, a lot of hymns, and just you had a great time. They were always usually the really fast, exciting songs, not the slow, intimate, what we would call worship songs. And I just loved that. And so I would just sing along with all my heart. So God directed me to become a musician, a professional musician. I majored in music in college, and that's where Joe and I met. And that is my husband, Joe. I received my Bachelor of Music degree from San Francisco State, and I began leading praise and worship, our youth group and in our church, beginning when I was in high school. And currently, I teach music and drama, and I lead praise and worship at Alpha Beacon Christian School. And a lot of you know that. And I've been there for 15 years. I enjoy a lot. I have elementary students. I have high school students. I have a high school worship team. I love working there, and I've loved it all these 15 years. And I'm on the worship team at Victory. Okay, that's that. That just gives you a picture as far as my musical background. But that does not make me a worship leader or even a worshiper of God. God has called each one of us to be a worshiper. A worshiper. Not everybody's called to be a worship leader, but everyone's called to be a worshiper of Him because it is a personal relationship we have with Him. It's a privilege for us to be able to praise and worship God. It has to do with our heart pursuing His heart. That's where what we're talking about as far as intimacy, pursuing intimacy with God. A worshiper of God, if you are a worshiper of God, you want to be a worshiper of God, your heart is going to pursue His heart. It is hungering and thirsting after Him. We think it's a lot that it's just standing up and singing a praise song or singing a worship song, but it's hungering and thirsting after God. Let's turn to Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? This sounds to me as if it was written by somebody who really desired God passionately, was a worshiper of Him. It says it's a masculine of the sons of Korah. As the deer pants, think of that. That's a real passionate word, panting for God, thirsting for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? How often do we really feel that way? When can I go and meet with God? So each one of us is called to be a worshiper, to hunger and thirst after Him. When I was in college, I had a privilege of listening to a lot of beautiful music. Joe and I used to go to the symphony and the opera. We had a great music education. Joe also majored in music. After he got saved, we went to a wonderful church here in San Mateo. It was called Maranatha Full Gospel Church. It was really the first time I was going to a church that was Spirit-filled, and it was really an exciting place to be. People loved to sing. I mean, we would sing maybe for an hour. That's how long we would sing. People loved singing. The pastor and his wife loved singing. And we just spent time just immersing ourselves in the presence of God by singing and worshiping Him for a long time. And not every single service, but a lot of times we did, especially on Wednesday night Bible study. One night, and I was living with my parents up in, this was before we were married, I was living with my parents up in Marin County, and Joe lived here in San Mateo. But I would come down here sometimes to visit his church. But one night on a Sunday evening, they had a talent night. I was looking forward to hearing all the different musicians and people that were in the church. And there was this one young man that got up. He wasn't a worship leader, but he was somebody that played the guitar and he loved the Lord. And he was a kind of humble young man and he was very, very sweet. He had a very, very sweet spirit. I didn't know him very well. But when he got up, stood in front of the microphone was standing here and he was standing there and he had his guitar. And I looked at his guitar and I don't think I'd ever seen such a beat up looking guitar before. And it just looked like, what happened to that guitar? He started to play the guitar. He just was strumming. And I thought, I can't believe what I'm hearing. It was so out of tune. Okay, so the musician in me is thinking, oh, please tune your guitar. Please tune your guitar. Please tune your guitar. But he just kept on strumming, and then he started singing. It wasn't that his voice was bad or anything like that. But he did not have, a lot of natural musical talent. The reason I'm telling you the story now is because something happened. Something happened to me when I heard him because I had my spiritual eyes were opened and my spiritual ears were opened that night in a way they had never been before. I had heard beautiful music and orchestras and soloists and all that kind of wonderful music of all sorts, but I'd never heard someone sing like he did in the way he did spiritually. He was a worshiper of God. I could tell. It was just like something just stopped within me, and I began to just look at him and look past the guitar, the way it looked and the way it sounded, and he was just singing with all of his heart. It was something spiritual that happened to me that night, and I realized God was showing me, don't look on the outside. Don't even listen with natural ears when someone is really singing in the Spirit, when they're singing in the Spirit. Now, we usually use that term for singing in tongue frequently, but he was singing a song to the Lord, and he was just loving on the Lord. And the love that was present as he was singing, it humbled me. It humbled me, and I needed to be humbled. it's easy for us, especially when we're involved in certain things like music or drama, things that are, you know, the performing arts and stuff, to get pretty puffed up in ourselves. And it was just like, I thought, you know what? He's got something that I want. He has a heart to really worship God. So that was really, I would say, an epiphany night for me. And I just blessed the Lord for that. And I'm sure he went on to continue praising and worshiping the Lord. He was in the church for, I guess, a few years. And then I didn't find out what happened to him afterwards. But all those years that he was in the church, I saw that in him. And he was one of those unusual people, just really sang in the Spirit. So I appreciate very much. God used him powerfully in my life. Well, in this class, I may use the terms praise and worship interchangeably, but right now I just want to define praise. I'm going to define praise, and I'm going to give you a definition of praise and then one of worship. There are some blended lines there, but we're just going to do this. Well, the most common Hebrew word used for is a Hebrew word called tehillim. It means praises. And the actual name of the book of Psalms in Hebrews is called Tehillim. It's not Psalms, it's Tehillim. So in the Hebrew Bible, you turn to the page, you read Hebrew, it says Tehillim, praises. The book of Psalms is a book of praises and prayers, but it's called praises. The other main Hebrew and Greek words used mean to declare and to bless. To declare and to bless. In praise, we thank God for his character, his attributes, his deeds. We are thanking and extolling him for what he's done for us, the things he's done for us, all the things he has done for us and blessed us with. Character, his attributes, and his deeds. Our class verse, Psalm 100, verse 4, when it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, praise is tehillah, the singular of tehillim. Enter his courts with praise, tehillah. Some of you are familiar with this verse. In the King James, Psalm 22, verse 3, in the King James Version, you have to read it in the King James. It's not the same in the others. It says that God inhabits the praises of his people. He inhabits or dwells within the praises, and that word praise is tehillim. He inhabits the tehillim of his people. Israel, it says, also his people that know him. In the Bible, music and praise are closely connected. There are more verses that tell us to play or sing in praising God than to shout or speak. And there are verses that we read one today, shout for joy to the Lord all the earth. We can shout, we can sing, we can clap, we can speak, we can dance, a lot of different ways to praise the Lord. But music and praise are closely connected. So it's not just speaking or shouting, but it's playing a musical instrument and singing also, especially in the book of Psalms. In Scripture, there are 1,028 mentions of music. Over 280 times, we are commanded to sing, not just invited, commanded to sing. Sounds like singing is important to God. Besides angels, we are the only part of his creation with voices and intellect, a spirit to be able to sing to him the way he would like to be sung to. As I said earlier, the book of Psalms is a song book, a book of praises. And in churches today, praise songs, when we say, let's sing a praise song, it's usually the fast song, the upbeat song, the loud song. That's what we mean in general terms. So that's what we're going to use. When I say, let's do a praise song, it would be a fast song, an upbeat song, something you clap to, something with a fast rhythm. Okay, let's go on to worship, a definition of worship. The most common word in the Greek that's used for worship is a beautiful word called proskuneo. And I love the meaning because the meaning is to kiss toward. That's what worship means. Some people have translated it to kiss the hand toward, as in blowing a kiss, but to kiss toward. And that's in the Greek. Other main Hebrew and Greek words translate to bow down, to reverence, to prostrate oneself, to lie down flat. So we saw that, generally speaking, in praise, we were thanking God for what he had done. And now in worship, we're thanking God for who he is. Instead of what, it's for who. We are speaking to him personally, thanking him personally, saying thank you, God, for who you are, communing with him personally. And a good example, an excellent example of the use of this word proskuneo is in John 4, verses 23 and 24. And it's Jesus with the woman at the well in Samaria, a Samaritan woman. Starting in verse 21, says, Jesus declared, believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Verse 23, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. All of those uses of the word worship are proskuneo. Those are the kind of worshipers the Father is seeking. And we want to be the kind of worshipers that the Father is seeking. That really know, because God is showing us, we're going to take time to ask God to show us. What does this mean to kiss toward you, God? How do you want me to do this toward you? That must be really important to God to have put it in his word so many times about worshiping. That is the most common use of worship, is that. One of the most supernatural ways to worship God, praise and worship God, is to praise him in tongues. Let's turn to Jude 20. Jude 20, right before Revelation. It says, but you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith, and pray in the Holy Spirit. And praying in the Holy Spirit there is what we think of as praying in tongues. And of course, as we're praying in tongues, we are also can be praising God in tongues. We can start out praising in English or whatever our native language is, and then we can go right into speaking in tongues. Notice it says that build yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. There is a spiritual exchange happening. As we are praising God in tongues, our spirits are being built up and made stronger. This summer, I had a unique experience for me, and it was I had foot surgery. It was elective surgery. It was just to correct something on my foot. What it did for me is it impacted my life greatly. I had actually a very good experience as far as the surgery went and the recovery time. But what happened to me was really what was so positive, more than just having my foot corrected. God met me in a new way, in a deeper way this summer, because I had an opportunity, and I took the opportunity, to spend time alone with him. My children are grown. Eric was home from school, from college, and had a great time with him. Older son is home. I had time with them, but they have busy lives now. I don't have little children anymore. And so I was really able to focus on God. But even before I had foot surgery, I was driving out to Pacifica early one morning, and it was the first day of the first day of a week of summer vacation. Okay, so I just got out of school. We just had all of our graduations. I'd been directing music for that. And also, I'd organized a tour group to go back east in May. We had gone to three different cities. We'd gone to New York, Boston, and Washington, D.C. We had taken 19 students and 7 adults. We had a wonderful, wonderful time, but it was just mad dash, you know, all the way to the end of the school year. So the first day of the first week of summer vacation, I drove out to Pacifica, and I had an errand to run, and I was driving back home, and I was just going to be leaving the town, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God spoke to me in my spirit, from spirit to spirit, didn't hear an audible voice, but it was like I felt an invitation to him to turn around and go back and sit by the ocean. And there's something about the ocean, you know, I love sitting there and just looking out over it. I stayed in my car. It was kind of cold and overcast that day, but that didn't matter. You know, the birds are there, and there was a few people on the beach, and the surfers, the diehard surfers are out there no matter what time of day or how cold it is. I just felt God wanted to say something to me. And so I turned around, I went out there and parked, and I just sat there. I just felt he wanted to say something to me, but I wasn't getting anything further, and I would get distracted by things, and I'd get warm and roll down the window, and then I'd put the window up, it'd get too cold, and I didn't have my Bible with me, but I all of a sudden, scripture began to come to me. I began to think, I think that God really has something to say to me, but there I was still in that kind of busy mode from my school year. I just finished. It took me a whole hour, 1 hour, to be able to just quiet my spirit. This is still early in the morning. Quiet my spirit just to be able to be quiet without my mind, you know, racing around, wanting to write lists, wanting to think of all the things I need to do when I get home. God helped me to just quiet my spirit. I began to hear things from the Lord spiritually, and I just began to write things down. And if I didn't know exactly where a scripture passage was, he would just go ahead and tell me what the scripture was, and I would just write it down. And one of the things he told me is he wanted my spirit to be stronger than any other part of my body. He wanted my spirit to be stronger than my mind, my will, my emotions, and my body. I thought, yeah, Lord, that really makes sense. How do I do that? Well, he showed me one of the big ways to do it is to speak in tongues. Now, having come from a background where people did not speak in tongues, in fact, it was taught that it was not necessarily of the devil, but it wasn't of God. I'm not kidding. That's exactly what was said. Even though I was spirit-filled and I had been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I had never really spent a lot of time speaking in tongues. I just think it was all those voices from the past. And God was just telling me, it's a new day, girl. You're going to start speaking in tongues. It was an invitation. I didn't have to turn around and come back and sit by the ocean. Several times I wanted to just turn on the car and drive because it was taking so long for me to just get quiet in my spirit. I just knew he wanted to say something to me. You know, when God speaks to us in that still small voice, we don't have to do anything he says. We can ignore it. We don't have to do it, but we will have missed an opportunity that may only come once in a lifetime. We don't know. Sometimes God just keeps after us, but that's his mercy. And I feel that me turning around, going back, sitting there, and just sitting there, and just sitting there, and just sitting there, changed a lot of my life this summer. And then when I had the foot surgery, and there's a whole testimony about how that went just beautifully. I mean, it was just, I've never had such an experience before with God just orchestrating everything very comfortably for me in that way. I just was able to be in my room and spending time praying, fasting, speaking in tongues, singing, reading my Bible. It was a real intimate time. I felt so blessed, and I was so excited when Gigi had asked me last, I think it was April, maybe, to teach this class, because as I was in my bedroom, spending all that time with the Lord, he began to give me things for you guys. I didn't know everything that everybody was going to be in the class. I knew some of you that were going to be here, and I said, thank you, Lord. I had a school year ahead of me, and I always try to think of things coming up for the school year. I didn't get one single thing for the school year. All I got was for this class. So that was so exciting to me. Gigi and I talked several times. I'm so excited about this class. I was thanking her for asking me to teach it. Well, I hope you're happy with what I share with you afterwards. But anyway, the first thing is, I just want to say, our spirits need to be the strongest part of us, our spirits. We need to build ourselves up in our most holy faith. So speaking in tongues is a vital part of that, and God really, really downloaded that on me this summer, so that was awesome. This is what, and then the last thing I want to say about worship, under worship, is if we look at the typical worship songs, they are usually slower, perhaps quieter, and have a more intimate feeling to them. So slower, quieter, a more intimate feeling. Frequently, we're telling the Lord how much we love him. God wants your worship. He wants my worship. It has nothing to do, I want you to really hear me when I say this, it has nothing to do with how your voice sounds. Thank you. Aren't you happy? Is that awesome? I'm happy too. Remember, he created your voice, and he wants you to use that voice he created, the voice he gave you, to give back to him, and worship him with it. Whether you're speaking, singing, shouting, whatever you're doing, he wants to hear that voice. He wants to hear your voice. He created you to praise him. He can have the praises of a multitude of angels in heaven, but there's only one Mike. There's only one Mike. He created Mike to praise him in his own unique way. The same with each one of you and each one of us. So God doesn't want you, anyone here in this class, to limit yourself. Do not limit yourself. Do not say, I don't really want to do this. I know I can't do it. I've never had a good experience doing this. No one wants to hear me. I have to go in a closet. You know, no one likes my voice. I've had people tell me that before, that no one wants to hear them sing at home. So they have to go sing in the shower, which is a great place to sing. You have great acoustics. You sound the best you're ever going to sound in the shower, just so you know. Another good place to sing is in the car.
Amen.
You guys do that? You sing in the car? Either roll up the windows or roll down the windows, depending on what you want to do. You can have the windows up. You don't want anyone to hear you. You can have them down. You can have, put your dog in the car next to you, and you have the windows down, and just, yeah, the top down, that's great too. Just go and sing and have a great time with the Lord. Because praise and worship is not about us. It is about God. We're just using, he's utilizing our voices, our bodies, our hands, our feet, whatever it is we're using to dance, clap, sing. But it's not about us. It's about him. People are praising God all over the world right now as we're sitting here. And they're praising him all through heaven right now. Heaven has music and praise and worship to God. Shouting, loud voices, soft voices, instruments, 24/7. Of course, there's no time there, but all around the world, people are praising God right now. So whenever you're praising God by yourself, wherever it is, there's a lot of other people around the world praising God with you. So your praises are rising up to heaven in a great multitude of voices. And we're going to learn more about that as we go on in our class, about what's going to happen in the future as far as praising God. And the book of Revelation is a great book to read about that. Something God told me to say to you also, and I'd like you to write this down. We sound beautiful to God. We sound beautiful to God because he hears us with ears of love. We sound beautiful to God because he hears us with ears of love.